And God began to deal with me about, my dad was a farmer. So a lot of things I understand about farming, growing and different things that brings understanding to me sometimes in the Bible, you know, about how the kingdom works. But how many knows our heart in life is like a field? Our heart in life is like a field. And, you know, when you go and you decide to plant a crop, you get the field ready, you know. You go get it ready, your plot or whatever. You don't just go plant out in grass, you know, seeds in the natural. You know, you get it ready and all of that. How many of those are heart? When we give our heart to Jesus, it's fertile ground. It's fertile ground then, you know. And a field, when you plant a field, it's going to yield a harvest. Or if you don't plant one, it'll yield a harvest. But that harvest will be nothing. But if you plant a field, it will yield a harvest. And the Bible says, seeing our heart and life is like a field. And the Bible says that out of the mouth speaks the abundance of the heart, or what's been put in that field, or in our hearts. Before I got saved, I mean, I was just in the world, you know, lost, yielding to the devil or whatever, yielding to the enemy, you know, and so I was bringing forth fruit of the world, right. You know, anger, hatred, resentment, sin, just anything, everything. And God began to draw me. He began to draw me just like he drawed you. See, if you've never give your heart to Jesus, well, then you don't have a field that can receive the seed of God. You got to be born again. I've had people to tell me, well, I joined the church at 60 so-and-so or 70 so-and-so. And I said, yeah, but when did you give your heart to Jesus? When did you get saved? You know, it's not about you belong to this church or that church.
Right.
You know, it's about do you remember when you committed your heart to Jesus? See, like me and you, I mean, do you remember? Do you remember when you said, Lord, I need you. I need your son, Jesus. I'm a sinner. Well, I've never been a sinner. Yes, you were born a sinner.
That's right.
Everybody's born into sin because of Adam back yonder. You know, and sin brings death, the Bible says. So destruction is in the path. Well, we get born again, and now our field is ready to plant. You know, our heart, our life, we're ready to plant different seeds. We're ready to pluck up seeds that we've planted, change, put on the new man. I'm giving you scripture for it. Put on the new man. The Bible says we're new creations in Christ Jesus. The old things pass away, and behold, all things become new, and all things are of God, right?
Hallelujah.
Well, our field, the field is going to bring forth a harvest,
right.
You know? In biblical terms, we're fixing it to, it's called a vineyard usually, grapes or whatever the case might be, you know. But a field and a vineyard, see, once that field is planted, it becomes a vineyard.
Yeah.
It becomes a vineyard then. And so, in other words, it's bringing forth some kind of crop in our lives. And so, how many knows that it's very important because your field is going to get planted. It's going to get planted. And I don't want somebody or Satan or TV or nothing else deciding what my crop is. Deciding what's going to be in my field. That's why the Bible says, come out from among the world and be separate, says the Lord. He said, come out. In other words, don't be, think, act, talk like the world. You know, come out from among the world. It don't mean we're better than. It means we've been born again. We've been transferred out of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. We've been brought out of darkness, and now we've been placed in the light. And the Bible says, Scotty, let your light so shine that men will see your bad attitude.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody, your laziness. He said, let your light shine that men will see your good work and glorify him. And say, no, I know they're Christians. But you know, the only way that that's going to happen is get the right seed in the field. Get the right seed in our heart. Now, I know he's in here, Christ in you, the hope of glory. But now we got to let him grow. We got to let him take over into our lives, you know, and start to manifest himself in our thinking about God. I mean, you know, about life, about the seed. And you know what? I mean, it's kind of like this right here. When I went through the open heart surgery and all that, you know, people would say, well, you're never going to be like you was. Let me know that I could have took that seed and put it in my heart, in my field.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, you know, and then my expectation would have been whatever happens, happens, you know, and you're just going to be the way that it turns out. But I wouldn't let anybody, people don't mean to now. We're not old people. But we got to guard the seed that gets into our heart. I thought, no, I'm going to be better than I was according to God's word. Praise God, yes, the outward man perishes, but the inward man is renewed day by day. And then I knew the word over there in Proverbs 18:14, where it says, the strong spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness. And so I kept those seeds going in my thought. Now, I'm not getting those other seeds. Those other seeds are weeds.
Yep.
See, when you plant a garden, then, you know, if you don't take care of that garden, then the morning glories will come up, and they're like old kudzu vines. They go up, and they'll just sprout, and they'll cause your tomatoes or whatever it is not to bear good fruit. Weeds. You know, if you don't keep the weeds out, you know, and even I've kept the weeds out, not fertilized, you know, not kept them fertilized and the ground soft around them, you know, where the roots can spread on out, you know, and get better nutrients, you know. Well, see, that's what the Word of God does to our garden. You know, instead of always thinking that, I mean, just like, you know, the COVID thing came along and paralyzed people, afraid to go anywhere, afraid to do anything, afraid, afraid, afraid. And I thought, no, God, I'm going by wisdom. I'm not going by fear. I'm going to live by wisdom. If I believe it's wise for me to wear a mask around your snotty nose, I'm going to wear one.
Come on.
But I'm not afraid of COVID.
Amen.
I put it on Facebook. Well, see, these seeds through the media, and I'm just making an example of that. Because, I mean, you can't get some folk back in church. I just talked to one the other day and said, well, I ain't waiting a year on account of COVID. And I'm like, COVID stopped you from church? Are you serious? What, are you scared of COVID? What about Jesus?
Amen.
What about the anointing? What about that shield that we're supposed to have? What about, I mean, we can believe in for our light bills, but we can't believe him to stop COVID? We can believe him that we don't have to go back to drugs and all that, but when it comes to COVID, we see, listen, the seed come from the media and Dr. Fauci and all of them. CNN, CNBC, even Fox. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, I'm not biting that bullet. I'm not going to get that fear in my heart. Bless God. I'm not afraid to die. The Bible says that death has been swallowed up in victory. No weapon formed against me will prosper. See, what it was trying to do is the seed was trying to replace the seed of God in my heart.
Come on.
See, and it was going, it meant to bring a harvest. But it couldn't get in. How many knows? You in a boat, long as water don't get in that boat and fill it up, it can't sink it. How many knows we're on a journey? We're on the ship, so to speak. Oh, ship of Zion, we sing about. Well, you know, you can't bring us down if we don't let things in. I mean, I used to be real, real jealous of Teresa. It was fear. I mean, it was really bad. Had us both in a prison and blah, blah, blah. And it tried to carry on. It tried to carry on over after I got born again. But you know what, praise God? The harvest that it brought back then was us fighting all the time, you know, and me accusing her and looking at guys, and she's accusing me of flirting with a girl and blah, blah, blah. And then you don't never have a home. Hallelujah.
Right, right.
And so those seeds tried to carry on. They even try to pop up every now and then.
Yeah.
Come on. Satan comes every now and then. She's talking to somebody. And I tell him, she's an idiot if she does. See you later, devil. Go. Why? You're not going to get a seed back in my heart. Not going to happen. Because if it can get me to looking at something, looking away from the promises of God, he can get a harvest in there and it might cost me a divorce.
That's right. Come on.
Because even if she ain't, she will get sick of hearing me, living with me, accusing her when she's not doing anything. Y'all get with the picture of what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not jealous about it. Well, it don't have to be jealousy. What issues have you got?
Right.
Pinpoint your issues. Pinpoint. Some of you's busybodies. You got to know everything about everybody in the neighborhood. And then you got to talk down about everybody in the neighborhood. That's an issue.
Yep.
That's a problem for you or for me. Satan comes and tempts me. He tempts me. I started the other day because I don't know who tithes and who don't. I just don't. It don't. That way it don't bother me. Because if I know you ain't tithing, then it makes me want to look at you. You know better than that, Duddy. God, man, don't make me preach this again. But if I don't know it, I'm not looking. I look at you and you, I mean, it's all innocent on my part, right? I'm not a busybody. I started to ask Teresa, who all's tithing? I did bring it up. I said, is everybody tithing? I said, don't tithing.
Bless the Lord.
Well, I don't want to know. I really don't. My flesh wants to know. See, that's your flesh.
That's right.
Your flesh wants to know everything about everybody. And then when you get around some, gosh, I know I'm on it this morning.
Amen. Come on.
I feel the anointing all over me.
Bless him, Lord.
Praise God. Give me that first scripture, man. Not the Proverbs. Well, give me the Proverbs first. Look here, Proverbs 24:30. I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nestled and covered the face thereof. And the stone wall thereof was broke down. And I saw and considered it well, looked upon it, received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, and so shall your poverty come as one that travail, and thy want as an armed man. But did you hear what he said? He said, I went by the field of the lazy. And I went by the vineyard of the ones that don't understand. But you know what? God won't leave you ignorant. I mean, if I talk about jealousy in here, it ain't, I mean, I don't do it for no other purpose than I've been redeemed and set free.
Amen.
And if you have a problem with it and it's dealing with that issue, it's him. Showing up, giving you knowledge.
That's right.
Yeah.
So that you're not ignorant anymore of what's taking place to bring a crop, a harvest in your life. Now here he said he went to the field of the lazy. Well, you know what? If you don't put the word in, if you don't pray, and you don't fast, and you don't go to the house of the Lord, you've got time to do everything on the planet but acknowledge God and think that's called spiritually lazy. He said he went by the lazy.
Come on.
See, I got this sermon I want to preach that I heard a preacher preach. It's called Terry Trial and Vic Victory. But I always slaughter it. You know, he does such a marvelous job with it. that it transformed the way I thought about things. But both of them were Christians. Right. Terry Trial's a Christian, and Vic Victory is a Christian. Both of them are Christians. They call one of them Vic Victory because he's always got the victory. Terry Trial, he's always going through and ain't got no strength and wore out and tired and lonely and, you know, hurting. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares. Nobody understands what I have to go through. But Vic Victory, he goes through the same things. But you know what? Terry Trial don't read. He's give his heart to Jesus, but he don't read the Bible. He reads a lot of Facebook. You know, he don't fast ever until the doctor asks him to, and they do it till 1 or 2 o'clock. Come on, somebody. The doctor says fast. So we do some blood work, and you can wait till 3. You're hoping they'll set it early in the morning, but usually they set it for 2 or 3 o'clock. But you fast all the way then for what?
For the doctor.
So we can get the right results. How many know fasting brings right results into our life, like doing it for the doctor, if we do it in the right heart? Well, see, Terry Trial, he listens to WZZK. Or whatever secular station that he wants to listen to, because it brings comfort in the home. I mean, the Bible says those things that are born of flesh are flesh, but those things that are born of the Spirit are born of the Spirit. Those things that are spiritual will minister spiritual. But those things that are carnal and negative and not birthed out of the Spirit of God, even if it's a good song. I was watching a documentary on Johnny Cash. I think it was Johnny Cash. Last night, you know, not Johnny Cash. I can't remember which one it was. But I'm sitting there, you know, and it's okay. I'm just listening. And he did a lot of marijuana smoking and drinking and all that. It was just a documentary. And I'm sitting there and I thought, I'm not feeling very good. And so I just said, 265, the Victory Channel. My flesh wanted to say, man, listen to it. I already know it, but this is a good documentary about somebody. It was Waylon Jennings. It was, you know, I liked it. And so, you know what? But see, I thought, no, I'm not going to sit here not feeling good. Because I'm going to put something on that makes me feel good. I'm not talking about flesh. I'm talking about in here. Amen. So I turned it on preaching.
Amen.
I turned it off. My flesh didn't want to turn it off. Why? Because I'm not going to be a Terry Trial. I'm not going to be one of those Christians that get caught up in the secular and all of that stuff, you know. I don't even listen to country or secular music, period. My choice. I don't say it's sin to do it. I'm not going to say it's sin to do it. I mean, if you want to listen to it, that's fine. But I choose that stuff only feeds my carnal man. I need something to feed my spirit man so that when I get in a trial, I'm not brought down and bring forth the harvest in my vineyard of nothing or defeat.
Amen.
We see Terry Trial, he writes about everything. See, some of you, give me the first next scripture I got. But this is 1 Peter 4:15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. The Lord has spoke to me. See, we have a field. And it brings a vineyard. See, whatever we plant in here and yield to and feed is going to bring a crop. It's going to bring one. If I'm yielding to fear, it's going to bring a crop. If I'm not yielding to the Holy Spirit, it's going to bring a crop of defeat to me. If I'm not yielding and going to church and you say, well, I mean, there's hypocrites in church. No, there's a lot of them that ain't hypocrites. But hypocrites go to Walmart, we go and whether hypocrites are there or not. Right? I don't care if everybody in there is faking it. I'm going there to buy me a microwave. I don't care. if there's hypocrites at Walmart. But when it comes to church, I'm serious. Millions of people, God's people, they say, but everybody there is not real. Well, everybody's not real at the grocery store. Everybody's not real at the gas station. Everybody's not real on Amazon where you buy stuff. Everybody's not real. I don't want to know anything too much about anybody. I've trained myself that way. I used to go on there. I didn't hear there what Joe said in church. I mean, it was so carnal. I mean, that was dumb. That's your opinion. Why do you make such a ruckus? You're a busybody. Y'all do stuff that I don't like. You never know. Why? It ain't none of my business. I'm here to worship Jesus and preach the gospel and, you know, fellowship, love one another, forgive one another. See, I might be boring some of you, but some of you getting a hold of it. Yeah. And you're saying, bless God, no wonder what's wrong with my life. No wonder I'm tired all the time. I'm not tired all the time. I put in 12, 15 hours a day at 54 years old in the spirit. Hallelujah. I'm 54 years old. Bless God, I now work a lot. I'm probably out work to 30 years old unless I didn't miss working out. I don't count myself as weak. Do I feel strong? No. But the Bible says, let the weak say they're strong. Hallelujah. It don't say, let the weak say how weak they are on a continual basis. Let the weak, well, I got to let somebody know why. Do you think they're Jesus? They just going to tell everybody else, well, Susie's getting weaker and weaker. She tells me every year. Yeah. I was weaker last year than I was last year. Well, you know what? I'm 54. I'm stronger now than I was back then in 2020. 2020, I barely could walk to my shop up there. I was wore out and hadn't needed to take a nap before I got to the shop. Come on, somebody. Went through a stage and I thought, but God, I got to go home, take a nap at lunch. Teresa tried to train me in it. She didn't mean to. Doctor said it. So at lunch, I'm like, oh, Jesus, I got to go home. Go on, take a nap. Get up, go back to work. Then after a little while, I thought, but God, this seed's got in there. I'm going to get to sleep at 12 and train myself. And I thought, I got to push past 12. I got to go past 12. And then it went 2 o'clock. Now I need to be home to get it out before the grandkids got there at 5. Buddy, I need some rest. Hallelujah. And then I had to push myself in the spirit. I said, no, Lord, but God, I'm strong in you. And in the, why? I'm going to have the vineyard that I want based on the Bible. I'm not going to yield to my thinking that's outline of the Bible. Just not going to do it. Busybody means you're up in everybody's business. And God's wanting you to realize what's going on. This is bringing you a crop. Everybody's going to know you by you telling about everybody. And you might think that it's making you popular, but the ones that have got a right spirit, they look right through the mess. They look right through it and they say, I ain't going to talk to him. I ain't going to talk to him because all they want to do is talk about everybody and what they ain't doing, what they should be doing, and blah, 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 you know. I mean, you know, people that are wanting to be close to the Lord is not going to fellowship with that.
Amen.
They're not going to fellowship in talking down on others. I know a lot about y'all and nobody knows because of me. I know a lot about some of you. I know more than you think I know. How do you know? Because I know him. And I know that some of you's a busybody. How do you know? Somebody tell you? No. The scripture's telling me. What I got this morning. Give me the next one. But as concerning brotherly love, you need not that I write to you. He's telling them over at Thessalonians, I don't have to write to you about brotherly love. I done trained you in it. Y'all walking in it. Y'all doing it. Y'all loving one another. He said, for yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed, you do it toward all brethren, which are all in Macedonia. But we which beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. We're supposed to increase in that. and that you study to be quiet. You know what that means? I looked it up and studied it this morning. Study to be quiet. That means work on minding your own business. Work on it. Well, I mean, I just got to know everything. No, you don't. That is killing you spiritually. Because it'll cause you to be a gossiper. It'll lead from being a busybody over to gossip. I mean, I had somebody said something about me the other day. They said, well, he's this, he's this. And the one that they was telling knew that it wasn't so. Right? They knew that it wasn't so. But you know what? I didn't even really try to defend my... Why? Because my life is going to bear out the vineyard. My life is going to bear out no matter what anybody said. That could be a seed trying to get into my field. To where I would bring, it would bring a crop in my vineyard. But he says, and that you study to be quiet and do your own business. Or that means to mind your own business. To put it plain. Mind your own business. Well, my neighbor out there, I know! My neighbor's none of my business how he does his cows. How he lets his dogs run loose and tears everybody's garbage out. Come on, somebody. And then go down the road and tell my other neighbor, boy, we got a bad neighbor over there, bad neighbor. He ain't experienced a bad neighbor. He's not close to him. But now my words are giving him an image of a neighbor that he likes. That's dangerous. God, don't take that lightly with me. Yeah. Told David last week, he works with Ben Travis. We're a team. Told him last week, I said, you know, I said, people's perception of something, you know, we how people perceive. I told him, I said, you know, you're if I go by, you're on the porch. A couple hours later, come back, you're on the porch. I see him on the porch a lot. He likes it outside. And so I said, I could go on and tell everybody, well, he's a porch person. He's just a porch person. I said, you know, I said, I could give them an image of you as a porch person. I said, but, I said, I didn't see what you did for the 3 hours in between where I seen you at.
That's right.
I said, I didn't see you build your fence for your dogs at night. So I really can't come to a conclusion that you are a porch person. Other than that's my perception. I mean, oh, that's dangerous. For you to have a perception about somebody based on what you've seen them and then go make a doctrine about their life with it. Teresa told me one time, she said, I think you love that land more than you love me. I said, Teresa, you know that's not true. She said, yeah, but you're always over there. I said, yeah, but I'm working on our future. And so, see, then she said, oh, I was just messing with you. But you, she could have believed that. She could have believed that I mean, you know, and got that in her heart and everything, praise God. And you know what? That land that I was cleaning off is going to bless us in the future. See, you got to be careful about getting into other people's business. People at church one time come to my house, and I love them. I loved them, and they didn't mean no ill will. But they had heard something about my pastor. I don't remember. I don't even know till today what it was. They had heard something or seen something. I don't know what it was. It wasn't good. And so they came. And I said, y'all come on in. So they said they come on in, you know, and they sat there just a few minutes. And wasn't just a few minutes. They said, one of them said, have you heard what Pastor Brad did? And so I said, hold on a minute. See, I just had read the scripture a couple of days before that, to receive not an accusation against an elder. That Paul had told Timothy. I'd read it. And that came up. And so I said, hold on a minute. I said, hold on. I said, don't tell me anything else right now. I said, I hadn't heard anything or anything. I said, I hadn't heard anything. I said, but what we'll do, I said, because Bradley's not here, you know, let's wait till Sunday morning, and then we'll get him in the room with us, and then you tell me. You tell me then. We're most Christians. What did he do? Yeah. Are you serious? He did that? And then you know what would have happened? When I got around him, I wouldn't have been able to receive him preaching. Right. Or when I got around him, that would have been on my mind. Of what they told me, they said that I don't know if it was true or not, but it really don't matter. My neighbor can go sleep with the neighbor's wife, and I don't care.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
I'm not telling nobody. None of my business. Let them sleep with them. Well, I wouldn't do that. Don't say that. Don't judge. Because you don't know what you would do in the situation that another person's in. You think you know what you would do. But the Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he reap. If you reap judgment on somebody, that test is going to come to you, sweetheart, and you're going to find yourself in the same fire they're in, because it says, be not deceived, God's not mocked. And I'm not saying that. God's not saying this stuff to make us, you know, feel bad or anything, that we're wise to what's going on. But he says here, he says, be quiet and do your own business and work with your own hands as we commended you. See, when you miss church, I got an opinion about you. But God, they ain't got a lick of excuses to miss church. My God can set a fire under the vehicle and burn all of the, you know, I have to watch it. My pastor got into that one time, and I can't believe why she don't come to church, and blah, 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 blah. And then she come back to church, and he had made a judgment on it, you know, and upset with the lady. It can't get to a pastor if people won't be faithful. I'm just being honest with you, man. I mean, they fast and pray, and they're doing the will of the Lord, and I mean, it thrills a pastor's heart for the church to be full, and everybody strong, and ain't going to the flea market on Sunday morning. Ain't going out and spending their tithe money over there at the steakhouse, and then they can't pay tithe because they had to go eat out and it cost $100.
Come on,
somebody. It can bother a leader. Especially if he sacrifices and says, I'm not going out to eat. They can cut my lots off. They can cut it off and pay my tithe. I don't care. We're not going out to eat this week. We're going to honor the Lord. Then it can bother a pastor. But you know what? The sheep's none of his business.
Come on.
That's being a busybody. That's being up in somebody's business. That won't be well with me. I have to give everything to the Lord, just like you give them to the Lord. Well, I mean, we're just talking about it to pray about them, really? Because God really knows if you're bringing that up, you really want them help or not. There's a difference if you really going to get down and pray and fast. Somebody told me one day, well, you don't need to be doing that, blah, 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 you know. I said, are you willing to fast with me, man? I've been trying to break it. Are you willing to fast 3 days with me? I'm ready to go.
I don't know if I can, man, I starved to death.
I said, well, don't talk about me.
That's right.
If you're not willing to get in the ditch with me, then just don't talk about me. Don't tell me what I need to do, what I don't need to do. You ain't willing to help me in the ditch. You're not willing to walk and fast and pray and seek the Lord. I wasn't saying that to be ugly, but if I'm going to talk about you, I'm willing to come and walk with you. I'm willing to come and pray and fast with you. I'm willing to talk to you at 10 and 11 at night if I need to help you maneuver your way, instead of calling everybody around there just so they're not really real. If they was really real, they wouldn't be that. Really? What area do you come short in that they can say the same thing and you really love Jesus? Just because they got hung up on Mountain Dew and you didn't, you might be hung up on holy water.
Amen.
And think it's a sin to drink a Coke. Which I ain't drank a Coke anymore. Boycott Jesus, you boycott me. I don't watch sports much anymore either. Let them fly on out. Hallelujah. Go! All of y'all go! I don't find football before Jesus. Go! We don't care. Y'all want to boycott the right way, our institution, the God-given right. No, I'm not into politics, but black God, I've got a constitution of the United States that holy men of God got out of the Bible, that we can be free to worship the Jesus, some separation from church and state, black God, and we can worship God.
Amen.
So I want to encourage you. Give me that last one, Beth. I got one more.
Do you want the rest of this verse?
Oh, yes, please. That you may walk honestly toward them that are out without, and that you may lack nothing. Look, there's promises too, not being a busybody. The ones outside will see Jesus in you. If somebody brings something up to me, somebody asked me the other day about somebody. And I said, well, I don't really know. I said, they could be, could not be, I don't know. That's not what they really wanted to hear. I'm not, and I told them, I said, I'm not going to give my opinion on a person, because my opinion's going to shape the way you think about them, and that's not right.
That's right.
I said, if I don't live with somebody 24/7, I really don't know how they are. So I'm not going to take one instance and say, just like with David, he's a porch person. Because he's not, man. He works. He goes to work. I mean, see, we need to be, I mean, people don't feel comfortable around me talking about other people. Because I just usually shut the conversation off, change it or something.
Right.
Because you know what? I'm backslid on crystal meth. Backslid, high, and a preacher comes up on my porch. The Lord told him to come and tell me he wanted me to preach the next night. I'm doing crystal meth.
Come on.
I'm sitting there, and he said, the Lord sent me over here. I'm high on crystal meth. He said, the Lord sent me over here. He said, and you're supposed to, he didn't know I was doing math, did he?
Right.
He said, the Lord wants you to preach at my church tomorrow night. And I'm thinking, dude, you got a big Satan sent you over here. Surely God didn't. I'm high on math right now. And so I said, it's got to be Jesus. I said, okay, I'll be there. I'm coming to preach. He gets off of my porch, I fell on my knees, he got in his car, and I repented. I said, Lord, forgive me, Lord. You're not done with me, Lord. These drugs have took me over again. I've yielded to them, God. But God, truly the way I feel, I felt when he asked me to come preach, that's the way I really want to feel, Lord.
Amen.
I repent, Lord. My neighbor over there went to church over there. He found out about it, and he said, I'm not going over there. He's down there doing crystal meth, and I'm not going to listen to him preach. Gets close to church, and the Lord tells him, you can't lay out a church, forsake not the assembly of yourself together as the manner of some are. See, based on what he thought, I'm not saying I was right at all. I was wrong. But I didn't set the scenario up.
Right.
That's the last time I ever did crystal meth. That's been a long, long, long time ago.
Bless you, Lord. Thank you.
Lord made him go to church.
Right.
But God, I got up there, started preaching, the anointing hit the place, and I'm telling you, he was shook from the top to the bottom. The Holy Ghost got a hold of him. But God, one of the best services he ever been in his whole entire Christian life, because he obeyed the Holy Spirit. See, I was just as right with God when I repented as I was when I smoked, when I first smoked the crack.
Amen.
The meth.
Come on.
See, that's why we can't judge people.
Right.
That's why we can't cast in it though. You might can see me right now. There's a lot of imperfection in my life. Some of you go home with me and say, I can't go listen to him preach because I'm a man. That's why God don't let you go home with me. I mean, I went home with my pastor one Sunday after church. He'd taken me to the jail. And I mean, at that time, I thought, don't do nothing on Sunday. It's God's day. It's a holy day. And you know, and all that. And he goes and saddles up a horse and rides it. And I'm thinking, man, it's Sunday. I'm supposed to be doing nothing on Sunday. It's God's day. And I thought, man, who really? That's my pastor. Well, the very next week, I found out that Sunday was actually Saturday. I found out on the Jewish calendar, which our Bible's wrote is Jewish, praise God. I found out in the Jewish calendar that Sunday is Monday. And I thought, I've been worshiping on the wrong day. I've been worshiping on Saturday. I mean, on Sunday. I'm supposed to be worshiping on Saturday. I wonder if I've really been worshiping Jesus or not. I'm the baby Christian, man. And so I realized, man, that's stupid. I was judging my pastor because I didn't think he spoke. Mom taught me that. Boy, don't burn them leaves out there. The Lord's going to strike you on Sunday. So I went out there, I went in my mom's, and I said, hey, Mom, I said, the Lord give me a revelation, Mom. She said, what is it? What'd he tell you? I said, he told me that I've been worshiping Jesus on the wrong day. What do you mean worshiping Jesus on the wrong day? I said, Mom, I said, actually, I said, we've been worshiping Jesus on Monday. She said, I ain't never been to church on Monday. I said, yes, you have. In the Jewish calendar, this Jesus was a Jewish guy, see? I said, he's over there. He's not from America. I mean, from the United States. I said, no, but there, I said, their calendar's different than ours. I said, so you've been telling me don't burn leaves on Monday. And Jesus was fine with it. Well, she said, what are you talking about? I said, listen, man, I said, the Sabbath is Saturday. Mm-hmm. I said, we got to turn Catholic to do the Sabbath. That's what I'm messing with. And then I told her, I said, Mom, I said, all this religious stuff, the traditions of men makes the Word of God none effect. I said, Jesus is every day. He's not just one day. I said, we'd have church on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. I said, it's okay if we want to go out and play ball after church. I said, as long as I don't put that ball before Jesus. You know, go play ball, don't go back Sunday night. I said, it's not about the church. It's about the obedience to the Lord Jesus. So listen, I'm going to work on it. I want my church and all of y'all out there in Facebook land, you know, YouTube, wherever you're at all over the world, to work on it, to try to work on living a quiet, peaceable life. Don't be, train yourself not to want to know and have to know everything about everybody and everything going on in Bluntsville. I know one lady, her name, I named her Miss Bluntsville. If there's anything I want to know, I go and run her down at the post office. And I'm telling you, you can 2 hours and you'll know what everybody in Bluntsville done. I mean, that's not good. That's not good. But you know, that's the reputation she's got. Let us be a reputation that we cover one another. You know, the Bible says love covers, love don't uncover. If we really love people, cover them. If they're in jail, I've got kinfolk in jail. And people say, well, they're just sorry rats. And I said, well, I don't know what they are. I said, I know they got caught up in Satan's traps. I said, I know they're good people with it when they're walking with the Lord. I said, so I'm not going to call them deadbeats. I'm going to call them saved.
Amen.
I'm going to say something good about them. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. We thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus.